I don't know about you, but the Christmas time kind of floods my heart with all kinds of memories and thoughts. And I'd like to begin my time in the Word this morning with you by sharing with you one of my favorite Christmas stories. I've looked all over the internet to see if I could find the actual author so that I could give proper credit today. But honestly, everywhere that I found it, it was credited as being anonymous. So I can't give you a specific name for the author of this story, but it's yet one of my favorites. Before I share that story, let's just go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Would you join me here just for a moment? Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together this morning. And we do pray that you would take the truths of your word and make them very real and practical, exciting to each one of us. Lord, touch our hearts. Help us, I pray, to see the truly incredible love that you have for each one of us this morning as we celebrate the birth of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And may each one of us see and appropriately respond to the amazing love gift you gave to us that day. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Once upon a time, a very, very long time ago, there lived a farmer. This farmer had a wife and two children. Now, this farmer was a very good man, a hardworking man. He had been raised in a Christian home, much like us. But sometime during his earlier adult years, he made a decision that this following Jesus wasn't all that it was cracked up to be, and going to church became somewhat of a conflict in his life. Now, in contrast to the farmer's wife was a very committed follower of Jesus Christ. She saw diligently to live out her faith and to also share her faith with her children. And on one snowy Christmas Eve, as this woman and her children were preparing to go to church, they pleaded with the old farmer to come with them. But like so many times before, he firmly refused. This Christmas story, he said, is nonsense. Why in the world would God lower himself to become a human being? He mocked them and said, this is ridiculous. And so the wife and the children went off to church without him. Well, shortly after the wife had left, the wind began to blow and the snow began to become more intense. A blinding snowstorm actually hit. And glad to be in the warmth of his house, this old farmer settled down into his favorite chair to relax for the evening by the fire. Suddenly, however, as he was sitting there, he heard a loud thump. And then another loud thump. Something was hitting the large window of the farmhouse. Startled, the man quickly jumped out of his chair, ran to the window to see what was happening. He looked out, but he couldn't see any more than a few feet because the snow was blowing so hard. So putting on his boots, putting on his coat, putting on his gloves and his hat, he ventured outside to investigate the cause of this strange thumping noise. Once outside in the field, at the field near his home, he encountered the strangest thing. A flock of geese were honking and flying around aimlessly and helplessly in a circle. Apparently, they had been flying south for the winter when they got themselves caught up in this violent, blinding snowstorm. Lost, stranded, and with no food or shelter, the farmer knew in his heart that these poor geese would surely die if he didn't do something to help them. But what? What could this old farmer do? Well, thinking out loud to himself, it occurred to him that these helpless geese could find the warmth and the shelter they needed for the night in his barn. So walking over to the barn, he opened up his doors as widely as he could. And then he watched and he waited, hoping the geese would notice that the barn door was open and that they might go inside. But you know what? They just continued to flutter around helplessly. They didn't even notice the barn door was opened. Nor did they recognize what that barn door could mean to them. Moving a little closer to the geese, the farmer began shouting and whistling, jumping up and down, waving his arms in hopes that he could get their attention. Still nothing. In fact, if anything, they moved even further away from him out of fear. "I got it," he said. He ran into the house and came back with some bread. And then he began to break up the bread and to create a trail for those geese that led right to the barn. Those dumb geese still didn't catch on. So in frustration, the old farmer ran towards the geese and started trying to shoo them into, chase them into the barn. But once again, the frightened geese scattered in every direction but the barn. Nothing he could do seemed to get their attention that they could be safe. Why don't they allow me to be their leader? He was puzzled. Can't they see this is the only place where they can survive? That's when it hit the farmer. That's when the old farmer realized that these geese just wouldn't follow a human being. If only I could become a goose, he said out loud, then they would trust me. Then I could lead them safely into the barn. He stood silently for a moment as those words that he had just spoken only a few moments ago began to replay in his mind. If only I could become a goose, then I could save them. As he stood there, he began to think again of what he had just said to his wife. Suddenly, it was all making sense. That's what God had done. God had sent his son to be like us so that he could show us the way to safety. That, he said, is the true meaning of Christmas. Then as the winds and the snow began to die down, so his soul became quiet. Suddenly, he understood for the first time what Christmas was all about, why Christ had come. Years of doubt and disbelief were now passing just like the storm. He fell on his knees in the snow, and he prayed for the very first time a real prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for coming in human form to lead me to the safety of your Father's arms. That's a great story, isn't it? It's one of my favorite. And you know, as I heard it for the first time, I could not help but think about how similar we are to these poor geese in the story. Because of our sin, the Bible tells us that we are helpless, that we are lost, that we're kind of blind and perishing. Romans chapter 3, 23 tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not some, not a few, but all of us. In other words, guys, it doesn't matter how religiously we live our lives or how good we are or how hard that we work. We cannot make ourselves good enough for God. The penalty for our sins, according to Romans 6:23, is death, separation from God. But fortunately, this verse does not stop there. It goes on to tell us that although the penalty for our sin is death, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that, my friends, is the miracle of Christmas. Over 2,000 years ago, God sent his Son into the world to deliver us from our sins and to show us the way to heaven. And no doubt on that first Christmas morning so long ago, Jesus, that tiny baby wrapped in swaddling clothes there with Mary, waving his arms and sucking hungrily on his fist, would have appeared just like any other newborn baby. But Jesus was different. Jesus, you see, was Emmanuel, God with us. And it's with that amazing thought in mind, if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like to invite you to turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2. As we look at Philippians chapter 2 today, on this Christmas morning, I want to present three fitting responses to God's Christmas love gift to us 2,000 years ago. Three fitting responses, Philippians chapter 2. The first response is recorded or presented in verses 6 through 8, and I've asked some of the kids to help me today. I need help to read the scriptures here. I've asked Joel if he would come and read for us verses 6 through 8. Joel, would you come up and read those for us? You all follow along and listen carefully to what Joel has to share with us from God's Word.
Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross.
Great, Joel. Good job, Joel. Thank you. I hope you were all listening. Did you hear it? Within these verses, we're told that Jesus, who resided in heaven, who is God, co-equal, co-eternal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, willingly descended into our world. He breathed our air. He felt our pain. He knew our sorrows. But he didn't come to frighten us or condemn us, but rather he came to be our sin bearer. He is our redeemer. Romans 5:8 tells us that God demonstrated his own love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. As I noted last night, that word for could literally be in our place. Christ willingly came. He died in our place and for our sins. His sacrificial death makes it possible for everyone to be forgiven of our sins and to be reconciled with God. Listen carefully to the promise of John 3:16. Here we're told, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." If you look at this verse carefully, you'll see that God promises that everyone and anyone who will place their trust in Jesus Christ will not perish, but have eternal life. The word believe, as I mentioned last night, has the idea of putting one's full weight, one's full trust. And to believe in Jesus, then, is to cease trusting in our own efforts, in our own good works, and to place our trust completely on Christ's work on the cross for us. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we're told, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." It's not of ourselves. It's the free gift of God. And it goes on to say here, "not as a result of our works, so that none of us can take credit for." We can't boast. Now, like any other gift, the gift of salvation must be received or accepted. And that, my friends, is the first fitting response to God's love gift this Christmas as we celebrate together. That's where it all has to start. We must accept the gift. How do you do that? Well, the Bible says to do that, we must admit first that we're sinners deserving death. Then we must believe and personally accept Christ's completed work on the cross on our behalf. No one can do that for us. We have to do that ourselves in our own heart. And then in prayer, we need to call on the Lord to be saved. If you have any questions about that at all, I'll be willing to stand here and talk with you as long as necessary and answer any questions. I would also like to provide this free book tonight, today, The Good News of Jesus Christ. It's in Mandarin, Spanish, and English, and I have those up here if anybody would like to talk to me. Please don't leave here today without first settling this first fitting response. As you look back at chapter 2 of Philippians, in verses 3 through 5, Paul goes on to present a second response to God's love gift. And I would like to invite Michelle to come up now. She's going to read for us verses 3 through 5. Would you all listen carefully as she reads these verses for us, Philippians 2, 3 through 5.
"Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus."
Thank you, Michelle. Beautiful. Try to imagine, if you will, for just a moment, the step, the vast step the Lord took that first Christmas from heaven to earth, from all the worship and accolades of the angels to the crueling, mocking treatment of mankind, from glory to humiliation. No better example of selflessness can possibly be given for believers to follow, and that's why Paul writes in here in verse 5, notice, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Like Jesus, God wants all of us to be willing to lay down our lives by serving, by supporting one another, and by sacrificing for the needs of others. And that's really the second fitting response to God's love gift here this morning that I want to share with you. God desires us to use the gift to humbly serve others. I wonder today, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior, are there ways that we can reach out and serve, support, and encourage one another in our families? Maybe a neighbor in need. Is there some way that we can reflect this humble attitude of our Savior at first Christmas morn? The third response is presented in verses 9 through 11, and I've asked Stephen now to come, and he is going to read these verses, so please, again, may I encourage you to listen carefully as Steve reads verses 9 through 11.
This is how I tell I'm kind of big for this. For this reason also, God highly exalted him, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Thank you, Steve. As I was listening to those verses being read, and as I reflected on this past week, I was reminded of a party that was once held for a very special person, a friend. And the invitations had all been sent out, and the house was beautifully decorated. The dinner was well prepared and carefully prepared and placed on a wonderful festive table. And on the day of the party, everybody had gathered together, and they discovered a terrible mistake had been made. Somehow, you see, in the midst of all of the planning and the preparations for the party, the grand celebration, the guest of honor was never invited. Not a good thing, huh? But from this illustration, and more importantly, from these words we just read in Philippians chapter 2, we discover that in addition to accepting and using the gift to serve others, I believe we must celebrate the gift. We must worship this precious gift that God has given to us. Philippians 2, let me put them back up here on the screen if we can, and let's read them together, can we? God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Without a doubt, my friends, this will one day happen. God's word says it's going to happen. However, I believe today, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, as those who have known and who have experienced the worth and the power, the might and the endless love of Jesus Christ, that response should be happening right now. There should never be a ceasing of our praise and our worship of Jesus Christ. And my prayer today, as we depart from this place of worship, is that every knee would be confessing that he is Lord in our hearts, in our homes, in our church, and in all of our celebrations. May he be first and primary thought in our hearts and our minds today. As 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 declares, thanks be to God for this indescribable, literally wonderful, beyond description gift. Merry Christmas, everyone. And may God grant to all of us a very blessed and fruitful new year as we serve him together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for the time we've been able to spend here in your word. And though the message isn't very deep in a sense, it is, I pray that all of us would really think about and reflect on the truths that we have looked at today. That if we've never trusted in Christ, we would sincerely think about that and make that choice today, that no one would leave here today without first putting their trust in Christ. And for those of us who know Jesus as our Savior today, I pray that we might reflect him in every way, in the way we treat each other, in the time around the table. May we bring glory and honor to his name. As we open presents, I pray that he would be first and foremost on our thoughts and our minds. And Lord, I thank you that today we have the great privilege and responsibility as followers of Jesus Christ to kneel before him, to worship him, and give him our praise in our hearts, in our homes, in this church, and in all of our celebrations. May Jesus Christ be praised. Thank you, Lord, for this indescribable gift. You are indeed a great and awesome God. And we pray all these things and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.